I am beginning this morning a series that will probably run throughout the rest of the summer months on the doctrine of faith. We asked this morning the question, what is faith? And I'm going to direct your attention to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, verse 16 of chapter 6, a familiar passage in which he talks about the shield of faith. He says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. This whole section is dealing with the armor of God, which is the believer's right and inheritance, and the different pieces all have significance. But in this particular verse, he puts additional emphasis upon the shield of faith. What is faith? If any of you watch television regularly, either the Discovery Channel or the Science Channel or the Animal Planet, there are all kinds of programs about weird things, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, UFOs. And it's amazing the amount of attention that is given to these kind of programs because of the widespread belief in the existence of aliens, of Bigfoot, Sasquatch. And I find it interesting to watch these programs, not only because they're entertaining, because there's never, ever, at the end of it, any tangible evidence for believing in the existence of these things. And yet people do act on that. Faith, in many ways, is always based upon something we believe to be true. You don't believe something that is not true. But in order for it to be true, there has to be sufficient proof or evidence in order to gain your assent to its being factual. Now, there's a difference between faith and what I call credulity. Credulity, you know, is that willingness of mind to believe based upon the testimony of one or more persons something that has little any proof. But because you give credibility to the person telling you that, you act on it. Credulity can also be a synonym for gullible. There are gullible people, that is, people who have unduly a trusting or confidence attitude when oftentimes can be manipulated. Ponzi schemes and con games are based upon people's gullibility to believe in the promises of an individual that if they do this, the following will result. Much of what passes off for the prosperity gospel is nothing more than that kind of credulity and gullibility. As P.T. Barnum once said, a fool and his money are soon parted. But what is faith? How does it differ from that? Is faith merely the power of positive thinking? You know, there are people who are eternal optimists. Does that mean there are people who have a broad and strong faith? People who will say they'll look at a glass that's half full and they'll say it's not half empty, it's half full. And behind every cloud there's a silver lining. There are people who are optimists by virtue of their temperament and personality, and there are people who are pessimists. There are people who are extremely skeptical. You know, the old saying, I'm from Missouri, that I'm not going to be conned into believing anything. They're like Doubting Thomas. I will not believe unless I put my hands in the nail prints of the crucified Savior. I don't believe on the basis of the testimony of these women or anybody else. That's an example in Scripture of someone who was reluctant to believe. I highlight in the notes, and we'll be looking at this next week as well, my good friend Scott Clark recently commented that what we are seeing in this particular passage is the fact that faith, he says, Paul uses a military metaphor in which he invokes a series of images to describe the Christian life. The struggle with sin, mortification, putting to death the old man, and vivification, that is the making alive of the new man. Truth is a battle belt. On top of the belt used to hold up one's trousers, a heavy belt to carry equipment. In the ancient world, a soldier would carry his sword there. Today, a soldier carries a great deal of equipment, including his sidearm on his belt. It is essential. He dare not leave camp without it. The breastplate was the ancient equivalent of body armor. For the purpose of this discussion, it doesn't really matter whether the righteousness in view is intrinsic, as in sanctification, or extrinsic, as in Christ righteous imputed, although the latter seems more likely. There is no mention of good works yet. The good news of peace with God, accomplished for us by Christ, which strengthens the likelihood that we are righteous mentioned above, is justification, is what prepares us for battle. Again, our good works are not mentioned. The shield of faith i.e., knowledge, assent, and trust. Those are three terms that we're going to, over the next few weeks, look at in some detail in their theological construct. Knowledge, the Reformers referred to as notitia. We get words like cognition, cognitive. Notitia referred to information. The gospel contains facts. They contain information. There is no preaching of the gospel that does not have this element and desires that people act on that knowledge, which brings us to assent, the Latin word assensus. That is, we act in accepting the information that we believe to be true. But the most distinguishing characteristic of saving faith, according to the Reformers, was trust. Now, you can say, for example, I believe in Bigfoot, but no sane person would say something like, I trust in Bigfoot. Trust him to do what? Make an appearance? I trust in aliens. No one says that. When we say, I believe, for example, we use the term in a broad sense, I believe the D-backs are going to win the pennant this year. Not now you don't. Maybe, you know, 2 months ago you did. And if you're a Cub fan, you never say things like that. Because you don't believe they're going to win. They haven't won in my lifetime, my father's lifetime, my grandfather's lifetime, and they probably won't win in my grandson's lifetime. In other words, we say things like that because we're hopeful. And so we'll say, really, I believe the D-backs will win the pennant. I hope they do. But that's not the same as I'm going to stake my life. Now, there are people that gamble. They take the various odds of this team winning or that team, and they put money down. And they're betting that the odds will fall in their favor. But that's not the same as trust. Trust, the Latin word fiducia, from which we get words like fidelity, means to rely. And when we say that saving faith in Christ, principally, in its most distinctive nature, is a trust, a reliance. We are trusting that Christ's death was an atonement that satisfied the righteous wrath of God in our stead. Now, merely acknowledging the existence of a person named Jesus from Nazareth is not saving faith. The Bible speaks of the faith of demons. The book of James says, you believe God is one, so the demons, and they tremble. And then there are demons who know. For example, Jesus would not permit the demons to acknowledge who he was. You remember on one occasion, we know who you are. Be quiet. Demons acknowledge the reality of the triune God, and they will perish with that knowledge. So demonic faith is based on truth, but it's not trust. That's different. There is also temporary faith. If you read Jesus' parable of the sower and the seeds, that some seed fell among the ground, and for a time it manifested life, but then it shrunk away. There are people, and all of us have had the painful experience of having a close acquaintance, maybe a relative, embrace the Christian faith and then just flitter away. I had information brought to my attention this week of a family that used to attend this church, and for all external appearances, solid Christian family. They since left and made their way elsewhere. Then I found this week that he had committed adultery on his wife multiple times. He had cheated on her and done other atrocious things. And finally, he just renounced the Christian faith. I don't believe this, and walked away. And you're like, what is that? Some of you can go back over 20 years. The previous pastor of this church became an atheist after he left here. He first became an agnostic and then a Buddhist. And then finally, he became an atheist and then was killed in a motorcycle accident. And I remember one of his best friends said, deep down in his heart, I think he was still a believer. No. No, you don't do that. There was never any saving faith that manifests itself in apostasy. So it's possible to have a temporal faith, and it's a scary thing. And so the kind of faith that Paul is commending to us here in this imagery is a faith that does trust. I like the way G.C. Burkhauer, and this is in the conclusion, but that's not where I'm at now. G.C. Burkhauer, one of the great Dutch theologians, put it this way. Hence, there is never, he declared, a stretch along the way of salvation where our justification drops out of sight. Genuine sanctification, let it be repeated, stands or falls with this continual orientation toward justification and the remission of sins. The shield of faith of which Paul speaks has as its reference point our confidence that Christ will save us. Now listen, faith includes, as I said, certain basic pieces of information. You must first of all believe the declaration of Scripture that you are lost. To a person who feels that he is not estranged from God, that there's no barrier, he doesn't believe that. I believe in face down, I'm a good person. I mean, I make mistakes, don't we all? After all, to err is human. To really foul things up takes a computer. But that is a general mentality that people think that deep down, you hear this, you know, this thing that happened last year at the Boston Marathon, where the mother said this was all a hoax that was put on. These people were faking it. You know, that's credulity. Because deep down, my boys are good. We like to believe that. But the Bible says categorically that's just not true. We're told that the heart is deceitful of all things and cannot be known. Can a leper change its spots? Neither can you, being evil, change your ways. Jesus referred to his own disciples as being evil. There is none righteous, no, not one. They have all gone astray. So unless we believe what the Bible says about our condition to be a factual thing. Now, G.K. Chesterton, the great Roman Catholic novelist and apologist, said that original sin is the most patently obvious fact in the universe because we see it all around us. Human evil and wickedness is something that none of us can escape. Now, we may be surprised. We read about a mass murderer or some horrific atrocity committed. But those are only the most obvious examples of the fact that something is inherently wrong with human nature. Now, evolutionists will tell us it's just the byproduct of our bestial past. And as we evolve, we will eventually purge ourselves of that. All I think technology enables us to do is perpetrate even more evil than we could have had we not had it at our disposal. Can you imagine, as I say, the illustration a few weeks back, had someone like Adolf Hitler had at his disposal the weapons of mass destruction, he would have used them. But he didn't have them. That's the only thing that prevented him from using them. He was trying to develop the capacity for mass destruction when the Third Reich failed. So the point is, until we believe what the Bible says about us is true, that we are indeed under sin, under its guilt, under its condemnation, under its doom, then we're not going to seek a Savior to deliver us from a predicament we don't think exists. So we have to believe that as a bare minimum. Secondly, we have to believe that the claims of Christ are legitimate, that the New Testament is a reliable source of information about who he was and what he claimed to do. We have to trust that when the Bible tells us, according to the Apostles' Creed, that he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. You know, I told you this once before. My dear friend John MacArthur once said that there are some superfluous things in the Apostles' Creed, like we don't really need to know anything about Pontius Pilate. Actually, we do, because that puts Jesus in human history. It doesn't say he was crucified alongside Tinkerbell or Paul Bunyan or some mythical character. Jesus and Hercules were... No, it puts him in a historical context where Pontius Pilate is a historical figure about which we know a great deal. And so the historical reality that Jesus was put to death at a certain time in human history within a certain historical framework is critically important. It's not a myth. It always amazes me at how you'll see these television programs about Bigfoot or aliens or UFOs or conspiracy theories. The grassy knoll. There was a second rifleman. How many people believe that? How about 9/11 was an inside job? I saw a bumper sticker the other day. Bush was behind it. What? Are you serious? And that all kinds of hypothetical, well, they weren't really flying planes, they were halographs that looked like planes. They were really missiles. What about these voicemails from the people on it? Or how about some people that believe we never went to the moon? Remember the movie that came out a few years ago? That it was all a hoax. We never set foot on the moon. It was all theatrical. There are people that believe conspiracy theories. Area 51. Aliens. Downed spacecraft from Roswell. All this kind of stuff, people feed on a conspiracy theory. Isn't it interesting? You can watch this and every kind of information is given to make, that's credible. You know, that could be true. But when they talk about Jesus and the resurrection, every kind of susceptible, any kind of doubt, it didn't happen, he didn't live, he never was there. All the programs that you see on these same networks, when it comes to Christianity, labor to instill disbelief. But when it comes to these sensational things, they bring in experts to convince you that it could have happened. It might really be true. What is that but an illustration of what Paul says in Romans 1? That men suppress the truth in unrighteousness. There's no shortage of them. There's no shortage of people who will spend their entire life trying to cast as much doubt as possible on the veracity of Scripture and the reality of the gospel. In order to have true faith, saving faith, faith that actually does have the approval of God, you must believe certain things are true and that the Scripture tells you they're true. Maybe your experience doesn't resonate with it. The great missionary Hudson Taylor, how many of you know who Hudson Taylor was? All of you should know who he was. One of the great examples of a man of faith, you know, kind of like George Mueller, who opened up orphanages and basically never sent out solicitation. He just trusted God to provide. Hudson Taylor was like that. And on one occasion, one of his co-workers came to Hudson and said, Dr. Taylor, I believe the Bible, but I don't believe I'm as bad as the Bible says I am. And Dr. Taylor said, well, take it by faith then. You may not have experienced the depth of anguish when you see the reality of what your sin is, but take it by faith. When God says this is your condition, that is it. And that you are in need of a deliverer. See, the shield of faith that Paul is commending against the fiery darts of the devil, his accusations, his false charges, his onslaught, all has to do with trying to cripple the Christian in believing the truth of what God has told him. And if he can undermine the authority of God's word and question its veracity, then you begin to doubt. Once you begin to doubt, you're like James. You're a man in a double-minded man. It's the illustration that Os Guinness gave of what the Indians had to describe doubt. It's an Indian who has one foot in one canoe and another foot in another canoe, and they're going apart. Credulity is not faith. Gullibility is not faith. You know, we have children that you can tell them things about the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus, and they'll believe you because they trust you. Right? They trust you. And so they'll act on what you tell them as being truthful. But the kind of faith that Paul commends to us as being the shield that will prevent us from being assaulted by the devil is based upon trust. Not credulity. One of the most painful examples I had of this was when I was in college in the mid-70s. I was in a secular history class, and it was about that time that there was a hijacking where the terrorists had taken over an airplane and flew off. So the next day, the whole class was discussing this terrorist act of hijacking this airplane. And as the professor was discussing it, he tried to relate how historical figures have dealt with crisis in the past, and he used, Eisenhower and D-Day and Patton and others, and how they dealt with crises. And he said, can you think of any others? And there was a girl in our class who was a Christian. She was from a charismatic church, and she always made me nervous. And her hand shot up, and I went, oh, no. And she said, I know what Jesus would have done. And then everybody, the Christians in the class, we all started sinking down. Oh, what is she going to say? She said, he would have cast the demon of Islam out of those guys, and they would have been converted. And the professor just went, huh, what? See, that that kind of people can be credulous when they believe the right thing for the wrong reasons. And this is why the prosperity gospel, which I outline in your notes, is so harmful, because they do employ the Bible. They do point to Jesus. But then they point to faith as some kind of Archimedes lever in which you can manipulate God to do something. And so you have Kenneth Hagin saying, have faith in your faith. You know, that is as foolish as telling a person to feel their feelings. You can't do that. You cannot have faith. I simply believe and hold on as tight as you can. You know that, you remember the thing with Peter Pan and believing firmly that Tinkerbell can arise, or how about the Christmas story with George Bailey? Every time a good deed is done, an angel gets his wings, things like that. You know, people believe that kind of naive stuff because they want to believe it, not because they have any evidence for acting on it. The faith that Paul commends to us as the shield is faith not in the psychic experience of believing something, but in the reality of which that faith rests. You know, it's not true to say that faith in Christ saves. Faith is merely an instrument. It is Christ who saves, not our faith. And this is why faith in the Bible is not commended because it has some kind of eccentric or internal aspect that God says, I like that. Now, it does say, and we'll look at this next week, without faith it's impossible to please God, for those who believe must come and believe that He is. But it's based on the fact that God has revealed Himself, and therefore He calls people to faith. And when they don't faith, it's not because of ignorance, it's because of what? Disbelief. I do not believe. The great philosopher Bertrand Russell, who was a rather well-known agnostic. In fact, he wrote a book called Why I'm Not a Christian. And he says, when I die, if there is a God, I'm going to say there wasn't enough proof. Well, actually, there was plenty of proof that you turned a blind eye to it. You didn't want to see it. Because, you see, unbelief is rooted in the condition of the human heart. That's why faith is not native to us. Faith is not something that we produce. Faith is not something that we inherently possess. Faith is a gift of God. But He gives it through the Holy Spirit based upon the claims of the gospel being factual and true. And until you come to a position in your life where you believe that God's assessment of your condition as a sinner is real and that you're under the prospect of damnation and doom, Christ will never be meaningful to you. There are people that embrace Christianity for the wrong reasons. They think Jesus is some kind of spiritual life coach who will give them success in life, that He's some kind of cosmic guru who will give them insights into the world. Christ came into the world first and foremost to do what? Save sinners. And this is why we celebrate the Lord's Supper every day, because there is the focus of Christ's life and incarnation, His doing and dying for sinners. As the elders come forward now,